Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 1, The Later Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Text 96, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. On the way toward Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many other pastimes. He visited various temples and heard the story about Madhavendra Puri and the installation of Gopal. Purport. This Madhava Puri is Madhavendra Puri. Another Madhava Puri is Madhavacharya, who was a spiritual master of a devotee in the line of Gadadhar Pandit, and who wrote a book known as Sri Mangala Bhashya. Madhavacharya, however, is different from Madhavendra Puri, who is mentioned in this verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Spapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganda Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahaganda Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Quite an amazing coincidence that today's verse happens to be about Madhavendra Puri. And today is also his appearance day. And I think it's quite appropriate, therefore, to speak on the life of Madhavendra Puri and also the other important incident that is mentioned with respect to him, and that is Gopala Sthapana, the installation of the deity of Gopal. I'm sure most of us have, or if not all of us, have already heard of the story of the pastime of the installation of Gopal, but nevertheless, it is still very nice to hear about the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees again and again. It is very purifying and nourishing to our devotional kripa. And to hear about Madhavendra Puri is very important for us, because his role in our sampradaya is very unique. Madhavendra Puri was the grand spiritual master, the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared in the 14th century and he was the disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was a sannyasi in the Madhva Sampradaya. And by the way, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada speaks about two Madhavendra. One is a Madhava, that is Madhavendra Puri. The other Madhava is Madhavacharya, who was in the line of Gadadhar Pandit. But there's a third one, but he is not Madhavacharya, he's Madhvacharya. Many times devotees also call the Madhvacharya of Udupi as Madhavacharya, but he's Madhvacharya. And here it's Madhavacharya, Madhava. Actually, we see when pronouncing the verses and the names and places and so on, devotees often mix up the long and the short vowels. It makes a big difference. So when we pronounce the verses, we should pay special attention to the long and short vowels, especially the A, the A and the A. So it makes a lot of difference. And many times when devotees pronounce the words, they stretch the short vowels and make them long, and they compress the long vowels and make them short. So this happens many times. Yeah. For example, Radharani. It's Radharani. Yeah. So the second A, devotees tend to compress. They make it Radharani, but it's Radharani. Yes. Or one of the very common mistakes, let's say Bhakti Charu Maharaj. This is Bhakti Charu Maharaj. The Charu, the A, the long A is compressed into a short A. So like that, many times, because we are familiar with the word Madhava, so when it comes to Udupi Madhvacharya, devotees also call him as Madhavacharya, but it is Madhvacharya. And there is another Madhavacharya, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, who is in the line of Gadadhar Pandit. But the Madhava who is being spoken about in this verse is Madhavendra Puri. He was also sometimes referred to as Madhava Puri. So in any case, he was the disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya of Udupi. And Madhvacharya or Madhavendra Puri was also the disciple of many illustrious personalities. Can you mention some of his disciples, prominent disciples? Ishwara Puri, correct. Advaita Acharya, correct. Who else? Sorry? Ramachandra, yeah. We don't like to hear so much about Ramachandra Puri. He was also a disciple, yes. Yes. So Govinda Prabhu has been very precise. According to some people, Nityananda Prabhu. There's some difference of opinion about that. But yes, anyone else? There was Paramananda Puri, also a famous sannyasi there. Brahmananda Puri as well. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Sriranga Puri, Raghupati Upadhyay. All these personalities appear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was the spiritual master to a lot of very prominent personalities in Gaur Leela. His connection to Nityananda Prabhu is a little more obscure in the sense that the more accepted version is that he did accept Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master, although there are some who say that he accepted initiation from Lakshmipati Tirtha, and thus he was a godbrother of Madhavendra Puri. In any case, Nityananda Prabhu had very, very high regard for Madhavendra Puri, and he accepted him like a spiritual master. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains the first meeting of Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda Prabhu, which happened quite by chance, to use some everyday terminology. Of course, nothing happens by chance. And Nityananda Prabhu was struck with wonder to see the ecstatic symptoms in the person of Madhavendra Puri. And Nityananda Prabhu remarked, "Never have I seen such exhibition of divine love as I am seeing here in the person of Madhavendra Puri. His ecstatic devotion is so deep that he becomes unconscious in ecstasy even when he sees a cloud in the sky. Why so? Because the cloud is a little dark colored. So he would remember the complexion of Krishna. And he would remember Krishna and fall unconscious in transcendental ecstasy." So the two naturally embraced each other and bathed each other in tears of transcendental ecstasy. And then they had each other's association for a long time. Madhavendra Puri, it is said, would also consider Nityananda Prabhu to be like a companion. And he said, I am so fortunate to have a companion like Nityananda Prabhu. But Nityananda Prabhu would always treat Madhavendra Puri with the greatest of respect, considering him to be a senior, which he was in age. You see, when the Lord appears in this world, he sends before him many of those associates of his who will play roles of seniors in the Bhauma Leela. Bhauma means on Bhumi, on earth. So therefore, those who play the role of his parents and gurus and so on, they advent before the Lord comes. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu had many seniors in his Leela. Amongst them, of course, were his parents, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And then there were his guru, Ishwar Puri, and Ishwar Puri's guru, Madhavendra Puri. There were also personalities like Advaita Acharya, Shivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, etc., who were quite senior to him in age. So Madhavendra Puri was one amongst those. He was very much senior in age to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was about probably 12 years senior. So Madhavendra Puri would have been much senior to Nityananda Prabhu as well. And therefore Nityananda Prabhu accepted him as a worshipable superior. So in any case, the significance of Madhavendra Puri is manifold. For one thing, firstly, he represents the connection between the Gaudiya Sampradaya and the Madhva Sampradaya. Because Lakshmipati Tirtha was a sannyasi in the line of Madhvacharya. And he was the spiritual master of Ishwar Puri, who was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how is it that Madhavendra Puri connected the Gaudiya Sampradaya to the Madhva Sampradaya? Because we understand that the Gaudiya Sampradaya refers to the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Madhavendra Puri came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the secret is that Madhavendra Puri was the one who exhibited the transcendental conjugal mellow of Vrindavan for the first time in the Madhva line. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the first shoot of the desire tree of divine love came out of the Madhva lineage through Madhavendra Puri. Prior to this, there was no sign of the conjugal mood in the devotional line or the devotional love of the Madhva Sampradaya. So he is in Chaitanya Charitamrita considered as the bud or the seed, which then became a bud in the form of Ishwar Puri and then sprouted in the form of a tree and a plant that became a tree in the shape of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Madhavendra Puri had a kind of divine love that was not quite seen in the Madhva Sampradaya through anyone else. In the Madhva Sampradaya, they are also pure devotees of the Lord. They are great acharyas, exemplary personalities, but they worship the Lord in the mood of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Narayan, and Sita Ram. And they, of course, accept Krishna, but they do not accept the supremacy of the Krishna of Vrindavan. They don't accept Krishna as being the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that it is from Krishna of Vrindavan that all the other Vishnu Tattvas emanate. So there are some such fine theological differences. And because of that, there is a mood difference. So the mood of Vaikuntha is significantly different from the mood of Vrindavan. So Madhavendra Puri reflected the mood of Vrindavan, whereas his predecessor Acharyas reflected the mood of Vaikuntha. And it is the same mood of Vrindavan that came into the personality of Ishwarpuri through his guru, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also imbibed this mood through Ishwarpuri. So a very significant moment, so to speak, in the history of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya line. It starts from Lord Brahma, the creator, and then through Brahma it comes to, through his disciples, to Narada Vyasa, it comes to Madhvacharya. Then starts the Madhva Sampradaya, and then from Madhavendra Puri starts the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we are the Gaudiya Madhva Brahma line. So very important contribution of Sri Madhavendra Puri. So he is the connection between the Madhva line and also the beginning of the Gaudiya line. Now, Madhavendra Puri was a wandering mendicant. He was a sannyasi, Puri. Puri is a sannyasi title. And he used to wander here and there, all over in various pilgrimage places. And in the course of his wanderings, he came to Vrindavan, Brajabhumi. And naturally, he was doing parikrama of all the holy places, and he came to Govardhan. At a certain point, because it was evening and he was tired, he sat down to rest under a tree. That tree is still there on the bank of the Govinda Kunda. And I'm sure those of you who have been to Govardhan have been there, and you've heard about Madhavendra Puri sitting under that tree. How many of you have done that? Sitting under that tree and hearing about Madhavendra Puri's pastime. Well, those of you who haven't been to Govardhan, Braj, the next time you go, please make sure you go to Govinda Kund and sit under that tree and hear the pastime of Madhavendra Puri again. Or read it if you have the book Chaitanya Charitamrita with you. So he sat under the tree. He hadn't eaten anything for quite a while. He was also tired. Madhavendra Puri followed a vrata or a vow called the Ayachika Vrata, Ayachika Vritti, which means that he wouldn't eat anything unless somebody offered food to him. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So he would fast unless someone came and invited him for prasadam or offered him prasadam. Now that's quite a vow, isn't it? So not to... So generally when we fast, we are very careful about what the time for breaking the fast is, and we don't usually wait for someone to come and offer us prasadam. We help ourselves. But Madhavendra Puri followed this Ayachika Vritti. So he was sitting there comfortably under the tree. And at that time, a very young, beautiful lad, a boy, came up and said, "Oh, Baba," they call sadhus as Babajis or Baba in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. So he came and said, "It seems that you're very tired. What have you been doing? And who are you and where have you come from? Well, you look hungry as well. So here I am. I have a pot of milk for you. Please have this, and I'll come after some time and collect this pot of milk from you and this pot again." So Madhavendra Puri saw this boy, and he was astonished to see the beauty of this little boy. And he asked him, "Who are you? And why have you come here? How did you know I was hungry and I hadn't eaten any food for a while?" He said, I live in the nearby villages. And the ladies in the village told me that here was a Babaji who had just arrived, and he looked very hungry and tired. So they told me to bring this pot of milk to you. So here it is. In our village, nobody goes hungry. So please take this milk and I will come again later. So Madhavendra Puri kept gazing at the beautiful face of this little boy. He knew he was no ordinary child. So he gratefully accepted this milk and he partook of it. It was simply delicious. It was nectarian. He relished every drop of that milk. And then with great satisfaction, when he had finished, he kept the pot aside, waiting for this boy to come back to collect the pot. But he didn't come. And then because he was tired and he was sitting there, he was chanting for a while, and then he dozed off. And as he was sleeping, the same boy who had come to give him milk appeared in a dream to Madhavendra Puri and said, "Oh, my dear Madhava Puri, it is I who came to give you the milk. And here I have a mission for you. I have been waiting for a long time for you to come here. I am eager to accept your seva, your service. Now, a long time ago, I was being served here very nicely by the Brahmanas. But somehow, due to fear of the invading Muslims, my sevak, my servant, he left me here. He hid me under the bushes and he fled for his life. And I have been lying here in this particular place, which I shall point out to you, for a long time. I'm feeling the heat, the cold, the rain, and the thorns are pricking me, and I'm hungry and thirsty. So please come to this specific place." And he revealed the location of that place precisely to Madhavendra Puri in the dream. "Please come and take me out and place me on top of the hill, install me there and worship me." So Madhavendra Puri awoke from the dream, quite stunned. And he immediately went into the village and told the villagers about this dream. These villagers had great regard for saintly people. And when they saw Madhavendra Puri, of course, they venerated him. And they immediately started out with all sorts of implements like pickaxes and so on to cut through the bushes, the thorny bushes and so on. So they went to the place that had been pointed out by this little boy to Madhavendra Puri in the dream. And they cut through the bushes, the thickets, which is very, very thick. And finally, lo and behold, there beneath all the bushes lay this most beautiful, shining deity of Gopal. And here, Gopal was in the pose of Giridhari. He had one arm, his right arm, on his waist, and the other arm was raised with a little finger outstretched, in the pose of lifting Govardhan Hill. So quite appropriate to that location. So with great happiness, all the Brajabasis and Madhavendra Puri brought him out. And with care, they took him up to the top of the hill, on Govardhan Hill. They placed him there. And they brought a stone that served as a platform, and also another stone that served as some kind of a backrest. So it became like a throne, a very simple throne made of stones. And then they had a grand celebration there. They bathed Gopalji. And a grand feast was organized after that. The word spread like anything everywhere. Because Gopalji had been hot for so long, he really needed to be cleaned. So he was washed and scrubbed and so on with great care by all the devotees there. Incidentally, just one question. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Govardhan for his parikrama, he took great care to not step on Govardhan. Because of Govardhan's identity with Krishna, and also because Govardhan simultaneously acts as a very exalted devotee of Krishna. He is also Haridasa Varya, best among the Haridasas. And following in his footsteps, the Gaudiya devotees do not also go up on Govardhan Hill. They take great care to not touch their feet on any stone even of Govardhan. And Rupa Goswami also was very careful to not go up when he came there for parikrama. So Mahaprabhu was so particular, all the followers, all the Goswamis were particular. How is it that Madhavendra Puri just went up the hill? He walked up the hill and installed Gopal there. What's the reason? Was it not an offense? Because Govardhan is Krishna. And he's also a great devotee of Krishna. So you don't put your feet on Krishna or on a devotee of Krishna. Any answer? Yes, very simple. Because Krishna specifically instructed him to do it. Very simple. Krishna in his dream told him, go on top of the hill and install me there. I want to be there. So it was Krishna's direct order. So he did it. But Krishna has not directly ordered any of us to go there. So we have to be very careful that we don't touch any part of Govardhan Hill with our feet. So we should be very, very respectful and careful. And incidentally, neither should any of us just simply take away a stone from there, a shila, and bring it away for worship. It's a very serious matter, and several devotees have done that, and then their spiritual masters have ordered them to go all the way back to Govardhan and place the stone back there again, give shila back again. Unless you're given the shila by a Brajabasi, and even then it's good to take the blessings of your spiritual master before you can do such a thing, to bring Giriraj home and start worshipping. I think there has also been some resolution in the GBC regarding this, I'm not quite sure. So it's taken quite seriously. So anyway, Madhavendra Puri took, along with the Brajabasis, installed Gopalji on top, and grand Abhishek for a long time, with water from the Govind Kund and from elsewhere, and then a grand feast was arranged. And the residents of the village came up with all sorts of delicious eatables, and word spread to the neighboring villages after the festival had been completed on that day. They each had a day allotted for them. So one village or a group of villages came with a lot of offerings. So Abhishek was done, and then the food was offered. And Madhavendra Puri every day for many days led the celebrations. And he would eat only after the festival was over. Then he would partake of prasadam. So this was a grand celebration that happened. The appearance of Gopalji again. Incidentally, it is the same Gopalji who is now present in the place called Nath Dwara, in the state of Rajasthan. And there he is known as Srinathji. So the very, very famous pose, standing like this, holding up Govardhan Hill. You don't see weightlifters in the Olympics holding up their hand like this, and certainly not with a little finger. But Krishna lifted the whole hill like that. So the whole festival was performed, and Madhavendra Puri appointed some brahmanas to be priests. And they began the worship of Gopal. Madhavendra Puri trained them up nicely, and the time went on. And then Gopalji appeared to Madhavendra Puri for a second time in a dream. And he said, "Oh, Madhava Puri, I'm very happy that you have installed me on top of the hill. You have fed me nice, delicious items to eat. You have bathed me. But my body is still hot. It still needs to be cooled. It's very hot here in Govardhan. And because I was in the bushes for so long, the heat of my body has not gone yet. So I need to be smeared with sandalwood pulp. So go to the Malaya province and fetch some sandalwood for me and smear it on my body. So Madhavendra Puri immediately embarked, or he began his journey to the south. The Malaya province is way south in southern India, in the border of the Karnataka and Kerala provinces. So that's where you get in the Nilgiri Hills. So that's where you get the world famous Malaya Chandan. Chandan means sandalwood. It was a long journey, and there were no flights and trains and cars to get. And Madhavendra Puri just walked. And he walked and walked and walked for a long time. And finally, as he passed through Bengal, on the way to Remuna, probably at Shantipur, that's where he initiated Advaita Acharya. And then he moved on, and he came into the province of Orissa. He came to the place called Remuna. And there was a very famous deity of Gopinath. And when Madhavendra Puri came into the temple and had darshan of Gopinath, he was struck with wonder to see the beauty of this deity. And also, this temple was famous for a kind of kheer or a sweet rice that was offered every day. And that was called Amrit Keli. Now this pastime was narrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the devotees who were accompanying him. Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas in a place called Katwa. And after that he had wanted to go to Vrindavan, but somehow he was restrained. And he decided to go to Jagannath Puri. On the way to Vrindavan, however, Nityanand Prabhu had misled him, tricked him to go to Shantipur, where he met his mother, Shachi Mata. And then they were on the way back from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri. At that time, he also halted in Remuna, and he came to the Gopinath temple. At this time, it was called Kheer Chora Gopinath. Kheer Chora means the one who steals kheer or sweet rice. So Mahaprabhu told the story of Kheer Chora Gopinath to the devotees who were accompanied him, and said, "This is the story I heard from my spiritual master Ishwarapuri." So with great happiness, Mahaprabhu narrated this pastime, and the devotees heard this pastime. And Madhavendra Puri, so as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relates the pastime, came here to Remuna, and as he was gazing at the deity, the pujari brought forth many pots of the most renowned Amrit Keli covered in a cloth. Madhavendra Puri had heard about the glories of this Amrit Keli, and he asked the pujaris about this Amrit Keli because he was curious to know what exactly the ingredients were and how it was cooked precisely, because he wanted to make that for Gopal in Govardhan. So when the kheer was being brought, he just thought in his mind how nice it would be if I could taste this kheer, this sweet rice. So then I will know what the ingredients were, and I will cook precisely this kind of kheer for Gopal. But the moment the thought crossed his mind, he began to condemn himself, because one should not even think of eating food before it has been offered to Krishna. And especially when it is bhoga, when it has been cooked and it's being taken or placed on the altar, especially at that time, one should not think, this is such a delicious samosa, I want to have it. You know, so we shouldn't think like that. So Madhavendra Puri didn't actually do anything wrong. He just was thinking how nice it would be to serve this to Gopal. But he felt very bad. Immediately he left the place and went away from there. And it was night and he rested in the marketplace. Meanwhile, Gopinath appeared in the dream of the pujari. Dreams all the time, yes? We see in the pastimes of the great devotees, there's so many dreams. Many times devotees also say, well, I had a dream like this and a dream like that. And sometimes these dreams are nice and auspicious and they bode well for the future, which is fine. And sometimes it's hard to say what these dreams are all about. In any case, one need not take these dreams too seriously because we really don't know what it means. But if it's you dream of Prabhupada, you dream of devotees, you dream of the Lord, well, it's nice, it's wonderful, devotional. But apart from that, any other dreams, you know, don't take it too seriously. Because we don't know whether they're dreams coming from a transcendental platform or whether they're dreams that just are the workings of our agitated mind. We don't know for sure. But sometimes the Lord does act through dreams. Even for ordinary devotees, what to speak of extraordinary devotees. So the Lord appeared in the dream of the pujari of Gopinath and said, arise immediately. I have played a trick. I have hidden a pot of this Amrit Keli behind my dhoti, behind my feet. So arise and run and take this pot of kheer and go and give it to Madhavendra Puri, who is now presently in the marketplace. Give it to him. I have stolen this cup for him. So with great astonishment, the pujari awoke, quickly took his bath and rushed to the temple, opened the deity door, and sure enough, he found this one pot. He used to offer many pots, and there was one pot missing from the main group of pots, and this one pot was hiding here. Was hidden there rather. So he took that pot and he went running into the marketplace and started announcing, is there a sannyasi here called Madhavendra Puri? Who is that fortunate Madhavendra Puri? The Lord has stolen a pot of sweet rice for you. Please come, O fortunate sannyasi, and take this. Madhavendra Puri heard his name being called out. So he immediately came up. Yes, I am Madhavendra Puri. And the pujari narrated the whole incident to him. Madhavendra Puri accepted that little pot of sweet rice with immense gratitude to the Lord. And he tasted that. He went into a trance of ecstasy on tasting that nectar. He also kept that little mud pot with him. And he began eating little pieces of that mud pot. Every day he ate it, because this pot had been personally touched by the Lord and shifted from here to behind his dhoti. So every day he would eat a little of that mud pot, a little of that mud. And he was in waves of devotional ecstasy were going through the mind of Madhavendra Puri as he was relishing that Amrit Keli. Meanwhile, the word was spreading about Madhavendra Puri. So he fled from there, because a pure devotee of the Lord never likes name and fame and prestige and glory. He always tries to run away from it. And so Madhavendra Puri just disappeared. He just went away from there and walked towards Puri. In any case, he had come here on a mission to get Malaya Chandan, and he had a lot of walking to do ahead. So he walked and walked and walked and came to Jagannath Puri. But his fame had spread quicker than he could walk. Even though in those days there was no social media. But somehow or the other, you know, by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, fame had spread about this wonderful incident. So there he explained, he also joyfully took darshan of Lord Jagannath. And then he explained to some of the servants there about his mission. So happily, they all spoke to the king and arranged for a special stock of Malaya Chandan along with camphor. And they also arrange for the requisite papers and documentation to show at the different checkpoints so that the soldiers of the king would permit him to pass. So they also gave him one or two assistants to carry the sandalwood. So with great joy, Madhavendra Puri again headed back towards Govardhan. He didn't have to go all the way to South India. He got what he needed from Jagannath Puri. So he once again came through Ramuna. There again he chanted and danced in front of Gopinath, who by now was known as Kheer Chora Gopinath, that Gopinath who stole a pot of sweet rice for his devotee. And at that time, once again, that is for the third time, Gopal from Govardhan appeared in the dream of Madhavendra Puri. And he said, "O Madhava Puri, I am very pleased with your service. You have walked such a long distance and you have endured great hardship and taken great risk to get the sandalwood for me, which is a very precious commodity." You see, even dacoits would attack and steal these precious things. So he said, "There is no difference between me and Gopinath. Therefore, I would like you to now have the sandalwood ground here and apply the paste to the body of Gopinath in Ramuna. And I will also be cool sitting here in Govardhan because I am non-different from Gopinath there. And have faith in what I am saying. Do not doubt my words. Just do it." So Madhavendra Puri awoke astonished and he engaged several people to grind the sandalwood. And every day this sandalwood pulp was applied to the body of Gopinath. And when it was all done, finally Madhavendra Puri left. The rainy season had begun and it had become a little cool. He went away again towards Jagannath Puri. Meanwhile, of course, many things happened with Gopal. He was hidden again and then he was taken to Nathdwara under the protection of the Rajput Vaishnava kings over there. So this was the famous pastime of the installation of Gopal, which is also connected to the story of Kheer Chora Gopinath, which is mentioned here in the purport. So Madhavendra Puri is a very important personality for us, for these reasons that I've mentioned, and also because he demonstrated a certain, shall we say, approach towards the conservatism of those days. In the conservatism, there was a strong caste system where a sannyasis were usually brahmanas, born in Brahmin families, and they would eat only in the homes of brahmanas, born brahmanas, not in the homes of others. And not only that, they would not even eat prasadam in the homes of brahmanas who served people from so-called lower castes. When Mahaprabhu was in Braj and he was in Mathura, he met a brahmana who was from the Sanoriya community. Now, they were brahmanas who served certain classes of Vaishyas who were not considered of a very high category. Very complex, all these different types of groups. And therefore, he was not considered a full-fledged brahmana. But Madhavendra Puri was his guru. The Sanoriya brahmana was very dear to Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri didn't care for these social conventions. And he went to the house of the Sanoriya Brahman and took prasadam when Madhavendra Puri met him. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there also, and he came to know about the connection of the Sanoriya Brahman with Madhavendra Puri, Mahaprabhu said, "I will come to your house and take prasadam." Because the real convention is that which is set by the great devotees and acharyas like Madhavendra Puri. So we see that great devotees, They do not make such distinctions of caste and creed. They do not make distinctions on the bodily platform. So this is an important lesson that Madhavendra Puri taught us, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up on it and then exemplified it in his own life. The final teaching of Madhavendra Puri is his departure. Actually, his departure, his disappearance day anniversary comes just a few days before Gaur Purnima. And usually, from a few days before Gaur Purnima, we have Gaur Katha. And therefore, mostly devotees speak of the various pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri, somehow or the other, don't get narrated. But hopefully the next Gaur Purnima before that, in the disappearance day, we can have a detailed discussion on the disappearance of Madhavendra Puri. But time does not permit us to describe that pastime in detail. Suffice it to say here that Madhavendra Puri was lamenting. He was in transcendental lamentation, feeling great separation from Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. And one of his disciples, Ramachandra Puri, who was latently an impersonalist, misunderstood this transcendental lamentation to be ordinary material lamentation. And he actually had the gall to rebuke his spiritual master and tell him, "Why are you lamenting? You are supposed to be a spiritual master. You are supposed to be Brahma Bhuta on the spiritual platform, which is free from desire and hankering and lamentation." So Madhavendra Puri became enraged and he told him, "Go away from here. Don't come in front of me. I will definitely attain an inauspicious destination in my next life if I die looking at your face." Quite strong words. You know, so he said, "Go away from here. As it is, I am in the fire of lamentation because I'm not getting Krishna. Where is Mathura? Where is Krishna? Where is the Lord of my life? I don't have him. So I'm burning in this fire, and this fool comes to give me more misery." So very sharp and strong words. So because of these very strong words of reprimand and rebuke from his spiritual master, Ramachandra Puri became an abode of criticism and Vaishnava Parad. He became a professional fault finder. He would always find fault in the devotees. On the other hand, Madhavendra Puri's other disciple, Ishwar Puri, became an ocean of love of Godhead. And he served his spiritual master in a very menial way. He also spoke Krishna Katha to him and served to deepen and sweeten his remembrance of Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri blessed him to become an ocean of pure love for Krishna. And eventually, in deep remembrance of Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, Madhavendra Puri departed from this world. So these are a few words about Madhavendra Puri. Today also happens to be the appearance day of Sri Radha Raman Dev in Vrindavan, a very magnificent, although small, deity of Krishna. And definitely it is very appropriate to briefly narrate the appearance pastime of Radha Raman. Very intimately connected with the life of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was one of the disciples, or rather one of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was born in about 1500, some people say 1503. Mahaprabhu visited Sri Rangam in South India in the year 1511. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was about 8 or 10 years of age at that time. Gopal Bhatta was the son of Venkata Bhatta, in whose house Mahaprabhu stayed during the Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the monsoon season. And Mahaprabhu bestowed enormous mercy upon all the members of the family, and especially on young Gopal Bhatta. Venkata Bhatta's brother, one of his brothers, was Prabodhananda Saraswati, who later on went on to become a great acharya in our Gaudiya line. So Mahaprabhu used to spend time with Gopal Bhatta also in the house. So Gopal Bhatta got a lot of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Better not to use the mobile phones now, right? Okay. So, and Gopal Bhatta was grief-stricken. He began to weep bitterly when Mahaprabhu was about to leave. So Mahaprabhu stayed back just to give mercy to young Gopal. And he gave him the instruction, "You will come to Vrindavan and join my dear devotees there. But you will do so only after the departure of your parents. Stay here and serve them nicely till they leave this world. And then you come to Vrindavan." So he took this, Gopal Bhatta took this instruction to heart. And when the time came and his parents departed, Gopal Bhatta arrived in Vrindavan. He was about probably, you know, maybe he arrived in 1532 or something like that. Maybe a little later. Yeah, he was about 30 years old when he came there, so around 1532. And at that time, Roop and Sanatan Goswamis were already there. And they were very, very happy to receive Gopal Bhatta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already told Roop and Sanatan that Gopal Bhatta will come at a certain time, and you please welcome him. So with great joy, they welcomed Gopal Bhatta and said, "Please stay here as our younger brother, and we will all serve together." So one by one, the Goswamis came, and they developed a wonderful association, a group of devotees, of exalted Paramahansa devotees there in Braj. So Gopal Bhatta continued to live there. Shortly after Gopal Bhatta's arrival in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu sent him some of his own personal belongings because he was happy that Gopal Bhatta came to Vrindavan. So he sent him his own wooden seat, which is called in Braj a hoki. And Gopal Bhatta would sit on that seat when he worshipped his Shaligram Shilas and his deity. He also gave him his own underclothing, which is the kopin, and also the uttariya, the outer cloth, the upper cloth. So Gopal Bhatta felt himself extremely blessed and fortunate to receive this Mahaprasadam from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. These three items are still preserved in the Radha Raman temple. And if you ask the pujari, he may give you a glimpse of these items. So he served. But again, shortly after that, Mahaprabhu departed from this world. What was the year of appearance of Mahaprabhu? 1486. How many years did Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes last? Totally? 48. So what was the year of his disappearance? No. He was born in 1486 and lived for 48 years, to use ordinary terminology. So what was the year? 1534. And Gopal Bhatta came there in 1532 roughly. So very shortly after Gopal Bhatta's arrival in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu disappeared, departed from this world. So he was extremely morose. He was very much grief-stricken at the disappearance of Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu appeared to him in his dream. He said, "Don't worry, I'm always with you. And you will feel my presence more. Follow my instruction. Go to the Gandaki River in Nepal Gandaki River is one of the holy rivers that flows in Nepal. And it's the only place, it is the original place where you get all the Shaligram Shilas. And Shila means a stone. So these Shaligram Shilas are there in the waters of the Gandaki. So he said, go there. So Gopal Bhatta didn't know why the Lord ordered him to go there, but he did. He went there. And when he was taking his bath in the Gandaki, he had his little pot, water pot, called the Kamandalu. And when he put it inside to take up some water, he found some Shaligram Shilas had gathered in the pot. So he poured them back again into the water, and he scooped up water for the second time. And again there were these Shaligram Shilas. He put them back in the water and did for the third time. And this time also there were Shaligram Shilas. 12 of them. And he understood that this is definitely the will of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. The Lord wants me to worship these 12 Shaligram Shilas. So he gratefully carried them home back to Vrindavan. And in his bhajan kutir, he stayed there and worshipped these Shaligram Shilas. And this was roughly around 1534, 1535 perhaps in that time. Now as it happened, as time went by, he was serving the Shaligram Shilas, but he had this desire to serve the Lord in the proper deity form, because he couldn't decorate the Shaligram Shila much. He wanted to offer wonderful clothes to the deities and ornaments and so on. So anyway, he saw the Lord is manifested like this as a Shaligram Shila, so I should be happy with this. As the years went by, one time a rich merchant came there to Braj. And being very impressed with the devotion of Gopal Bhatta, he offered him a lot of jewelry and clothes for the deities, small deity. Gopal Bhatta said, look, I only have Shaligram Shilas. I don't have a regular deity of Krishna. So you please offer this to somebody else. But the rich merchant says, no, I will give it to you only. So this jewelry and these clothes were just lying with him. And he was thinking, when will the day come, O Lord, when I will be able to decorate you in with all these clothes and jewelry? And one day, in 1542, in the month of Vaishakh, it was Narsimha Chaturdashi. Yesterday was Narsimha Chaturdashi, right? So he was thinking, my Lord, you appeared today, even from a pillar. You appeared from stone. And you came in a most extraordinary form. I wish I could also serve you like that. So he went to rest at night thinking like this. He woke up in the morning, went to the Yamuna, took his bath. And when he returned, he had his Shaligram Shilas in a box. He opened the box and lo and behold, just as Lord Narasimhadev had appeared from the stone pillar, here from his Damodar Shila had appeared a most extraordinarily beautiful form of Krishna playing the flute. He was struck with wonder. And he saw there were 11 Shaligram Shilas and this was the 12th. So one of the Shilas, the Damodar Shila, had manifested into this beautiful deity of Krishna. And very intricate. In this deity, you could actually see the teeth of Krishna. You could see his nails. Very elaborate, although the deity was very small. How many of you have been to Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan? Most of you. You know the deity is rather small, but very beautiful, very exquisitely carved, but self-manifest. From a Shaligram Shila. As soon as Gopal Bhatta saw this, he was overjoyed. And naturally, he informed Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis and the other Vaishnavas in Braj. And they were all extremely happy. They ran. They all came there running to have darshan of this deity. And then they named this deity as Radha Raman. Although Krishna appeared alone, not with Radharani, he was called Radha Raman, one who enjoys with Srimati Radharani. So the place next to Radha Raman is vacant, and the place of Srimati Radharani is taken by a silver crown, which represents Srimati Radharani. The interesting thing about this deity is that he is considered by Brajabasis to be the complete beauty, represent the complete beauty of Krishna, the most accurate representation of Krishna. The Madan Mohan deity of Sanatan Goswami is said to have feet that are perfectly like Krishna's feet. The Govindadev deity of Rupa Goswami is said to have a torso, that is hands and chest, exactly like Krishna. And the Gopinath deity of Raghunath Das Goswami is said to have a face exactly like Krishna. But the Radharaman deity is exactly like Krishna in all respects, the face, the torso, the feet, everything. So this is what the Brajabasis say. So the Radharaman deity is indeed very, very beautiful. And it is said that amongst the Goswami temples, the Radharaman temple has a very, very high standard of worship. So this was the day on the Purnima, the full moon day of Vaishakh, the day after Narasimha Chaturdashi, that Sri Radharaman appeared here. Later on, of course, some wealthy people came and offered donations to build a nice temple. So today we have a grand temple there. Shri Shri Radha Raman Dev ki jai, Shri Shri Madhavendra Puri ki jai. It is also the appearance day of Srinivas Acharya, but I'll not talk about him here, because at 11 o'clock there is the monthly Sankirtan festival, and it is very interesting, an interesting coincidence, that Srinivas Acharya is the original book distributor in our line. And so we're going to have a monthly Sankirtan festival on his appearance day. Another coincidence, apart from Madhavendra Puri being mentioned in this verse here. So I'll be speaking about Srinivas Acharya at 11 o'clock, not here. Srinivas Acharya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.